sound the alarms, the upset alarms. Two number one seeds go down in the first full week of high school football playoffs. I don't think we have ever seen that, at least not since I've been around here in Las Vegas. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer for this week's version of Prep Sports Now, where we'll look back on last week's games and look ahead to this week's games. And then there were four in both the Sunrise and the Sunset, local teams remaining, and four total in the Division 1A, where Desert Pines beats Faith Lutheran 34-27. Now they're going to have to go up north to play Fallon, and Moapa Valley beats Sierra Vista 46-26. They've got Elko at home. Before we go any further, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, searching for zero teen fatalities. Drive to play another day. Brewer, where do you want to start? This was a crazy week. The other upset, I already mentioned Desert Pines, but of course we had Basic 28, Canyon Springs 17, 4 seed over a 1 seed. So 2 1 seeds go down. I just thought that was crazy.
It was. I would say the Basic shocking Canyon Springs. When they did it in 2011, Basic is a 4 seed. They knocked off number one Canyon Springs. It wasn't as big of a surprise. They had Devontae Boyd and some other playmakers. But this year, Canyon Springs, to me, was just the clear-cut winner of the game. Basic, got to give Cahill credit. He gets the most out of those players, and there's definitely some talented players on Basic. McAllister, for one. And what a great reward. They're peaking at the right time, and they advance to play Las Vegas. Great job by the players. Great job by Cahill. And you know what? They're going to be a live dog in the semifinals against the Wildcats. So they get the reward of an extra game, and they might get 2 extra games.
Yeah, I feel like this was, and I don't remember it that well, 3 years ago when they knocked off Canyon Springs, but I feel like that team – we thought a little bit higher of than this year's team. I didn't see this coming. I mean, we made a bet here for Canyon Springs' second-round game, so I guess that's null and void now. But, yeah, Basic, I mean, that's huge, what they did to Canyon Springs. And, man, I never would have thought that, to be honest, like midway through the season, I would have thought you were crazy if you said either Basic or Vegas would even have a chance to be in the Sunrise Finals. But they're playing their best at the right time. Basic now 5-5 on the year with that win, which doesn't sound great, but they played some tough teams, and just good for them. And this Vegas game could be a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, it all goes down to matchups. You know, 2 weeks ago, Basic was staring down a first-round playoff game with potentially Liberty. And Liberty loses they were assuming they were going to play Liberty. In fact, Liberty and Basic had bye weeks 2 weeks ago together, and they were supposed to play a non-league game, but since both teams thought they could meet in the playoffs, they moved the non-league game up to the beginning to the end of August, and Liberty smashed Basic. And so Canyon beats Liberty, and then all the craziness happens on the last day, and Basic gets a favorable playoff game, or a game they think they could be competitive, clearly, in against Canyon Springs. And it's just crazy how it all works out.
Las Vegas on Friday beats Foothill on the TV game 28-23. Lose their running back early, and Jacob Littlefield has to come in and save the day. It's never played running back before and ran for like 100-some yards and a couple touchdowns. So that was
he's pretty good.
I mean, to just take up a position like that out of the middle of nowhere, that was crazy to me.
Yeah, when you're talking good high school players – I mean, he's what, 5'10", 195, soaking wet. For 3 years, he's made every tackle. And now to come in at running back, replaces Hicks, does a good job. And the Wildcats move on to place Basic, and I think that's going to be a pretty evenly matched game.
Who would have thought they were going to get a home game, by the way, too?
Yeah.
And they fall to the 3 seed. So they get Basic at home. And Vegas showed a lot in the second half here. They were down 17-14 at halftime. Had to come back, and they did what they needed to do. The defense stepped up as well as the offense. So your Las Vegas Wildcats might actually make it to the regional finals. It's only be the second time, I think, since I've ever been here.
Yeah.
They've been in it, or first, maybe.
You could easily argue the Liberty-Coronado game, the other regional semifinal in the Sunrise, is for the championship.
No, I mean, I'm really happy for Basic and Vegas. I have nothing to say bad about either of
Neither
them.
Neither do I.
Congrats, but yeah, I'm picking whoever wins.
It'll be a heavy favorite.
Over whoever wins the other game. Liberty and Coronado, like you said, they win their games. Coronado, maybe not all that or not as convincingly as we thought against Silverado, 20-7, but still took care of business, was never in doubt. Liberty, 28-14 over Green Valley. They fell into an 11-0 hole, but really kind of dominated the game after that. So,
and you were there for that game.
I was there.
And I think Liberty, we always talk about how Coronado is so improved, that their offense has kind of evolved now that Kofor is under center, right?
Yes.
Well, what about the improvements that Liberty's made? You were there for their low point, the loss to Canyon to open league play, and then you were there Friday. They beat Green Valley. What kind of improvements have you seen in Liberty? Because I think they were the best team going in, and I still think they're the best team. I don't want to give my pick away.
Well, I think they're the best team, but I think going into this week we would have said that they got a lot better because suddenly it wasn't impossible for them to throw the ball. They were throwing the ball well. It didn't seem like they had a disadvantage there. But I got to tell you, against Green Valley, they had one touchdown pass, but really any other time they tried to throw the ball was a complete disaster. They had to change their offense and just run straight at them. They came out in the spread. They got sacked 4 out of the first 6 plays. So it really just went to a running attack. And running the ball, they looked great. They ran it a lot better, obviously, when they got shut out against Canyon Springs. So I'd say that's a big improvement. But with my own eyes at the games I've been at, I still haven't seen that they can really throw the ball against a good team, which might be a little bit concerning because I know Coronado – I think Liberty has the better players in this game, no doubt, like if you stack them up next to each other. But Coronado, I mean, they play really disciplined. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You feel like they're in the right places a lot. So I think Liberty maybe needs to combine how they were able to throw the ball and do some things against Las Vegas with the way they were running the ball in this game to have the best chance against Coronado. Because, I mean, as good as they were against Green Valley and to beat them by 14, I'm not taking anything away from that. But there were still some flaws, and I think Coronado's kind of good at attacking your flaws.
And I think Coronado thinks it's going to win this game.
I think both teams are coming in very confident, yeah, which is what you want to see.
But I think after the 14-13 loss the first time they played, they missed a field goal at the buzzer, that Coronado knows they could play with Liberty, and they think they should have won that game. You remember there was a kick return late in, I think, the first half to give Liberty the victory?
Yeah, I think they're confident too. I agree with you.
So that, to me, is it's going to be a fun game, hard-hitting, two teams that we expected to be there. And you could argue the last team the team that wins will be the winner of the region.
Yeah, I think not to give away my picks, we'll get to the picks. It's going to sound like I am, but I'm not. But there was a point in this Liberty-Green Valley game, probably somewhere around the time it was 14-11 or whatever it was, where I thought, man, Coronado is going to beat either of these teams. So I just thought they were playing better. I really was totally prepared to only pick Coronado and whoever won when it was close. Then as the game drew on, Green Valley, I know they're missing Albert Lake, which is a huge, huge deal because he's maybe the best player in the Sunrise this year. But Green Valley could not run the ball at all. Liberty's defensive line is as good and better than advertised. They just totally stuff you. And Coronado's kind of renaissance, why they've been playing great ever since then, is it seems like they went to more of a running attack. So I'm really worried about them being able to run the ball on Liberty, and that kind of makes me hesitate a little bit before I say Coronado can beat Liberty. I think they're going to need to throw it. They were throwing it well earlier in the season. They're running it well at the end of the season. I feel like I said about Liberty, who needs to put the two together, I think Coronado is going to have to find some way to move the ball other than running, because Liberty's defensive line, I think, is the best unit in the game.
And I think for Liberty to win, it's going to have to control the line of scrimmage. We saw how it rolled up its sleeves against Green Valley, pounded the rock. Obviously, they're great on the defensive line, as you illustrated. So if Liberty pushes Coronado around, which you assume they're going to be able to do because they have Noah Jefferson doing some of the heavy lifting.
And I got to tell you, Jefferson was absolutely awesome. I think you could tell he was the best player on the field. But that junior, Randy Bukasa, had 2 sacks too. That kid is just a beast too on the other side. So you've got 2 just great defensive ends. It's almost unfair.
And that's where I think, and I don't want to give away my pick, but Liberty has great players at every level of that defense. Dudeau and Roland in the back, Jefferson and your guy up front. I don't know who they got
Bukasa.
At linebacker. Bukasa, and I don't know who they got at linebacker.
They got some good kids at linebacker. Got Roland, whoo, totally legal, not helmet to helmet or anything, had one of the biggest hits I've seen all year. Just a sick tackle. He lowered his shoulder pads into a Green Valley receiver and jarred the ball out. So, I mean, Liberty hard hitting too. It's tough to go against this team right now. I'll say that much.
Well, in the Sunset Region case, guess what?
It's the four teams you were saying it would be all year that we all were saying it was going to be all year.
5 years in a row or 6 years in a row, right? No, 5 years in a row. Centennial, Paolo, Arborview, Gorman. They're in the semifinals. Four of the elite programs in the state. High participation numbers, good coaching, great players on both sides of the ball. There's no reason why they shouldn't be the last four teams standing. In one game, you have Centennial at Gorman, and you and I have both said that we think Centennial gives Gorman the biggest fit of the three, or at least I've said that. I don't want to speak for you.
Of those three, I agreed with you. Okay. I said Liberty more than anyone in town.
Yeah.
But Centennial out of those three, yes.
And Paolo versus Arbor, you're looking at the mirror. Two teams that run similar offenses. In fact, Arbor kind of built this program to resemble Paolo's and now probably does Paolo better than Paolo does Paolo.
Ooh, don't get yourself in trouble. I said something like that last year, and Paolo came out on fire.
Well, good. They need some motivation because they're the clear underdogs in this game. I think Arborview is big and physical up front, and I think they're probably a little better than Paolo right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arborview would have to be the favorite. They're at home. They're the one seed. But, man, like I said, I still have visions of this game last year where I'm kind of surprised looking back, Paolo only won 21-14. It seems like they won even by even more than that. Where Paolo kind of pushed them around, they kind of were really motivated going into that game. I think Arbor offensively, you have to lean Arbor by a pretty wide margin with Herman Gray and Charles Lausch. They move the ball really well. But, man, if Paolo Verde, if the good version of Paolo Verde shows up, that defense is pretty nasty. If the Paolo Verde that I saw just totally dismantle Las Vegas shows up, I think they have a really good chance. If the Paolo Verde that just got destroyed by Centennial shows up, they're going to lose by a lot. I think that's probably not going to happen, though. They've gotten a lot better since week one. I just think Paolo... I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to get, but I think this is going to be a close game. And not to ruin your pick, but looking at your score, I think we're kind of on the same page with this.
Exactly. We expect close games in three of the four Division I semifinals with Vegas Basic close, Liberty Coronado close, Paolo Arbor close. And the question of the day is we're both picking Gorman likely, right?
Yes.
But what's the spread? Part of me thinks that Centennial comes out with a good game plan, keeps it close for a half, and then Gorman kind of puts the foot on the pedal and turns it into a laugher. Not a laugher, but a convincing win.
I said it last week, and I think I have to say it again. I really like the Centennial team. I think if you play the season a few times, I think that Arborview game's really close, and I think if they played again, it would be close again. But I still think you have to favor Gorman by more than 30 points.
Yeah, I don't necessarily dispute that. Like any team that plays Gorman or any team that's a significant underdog, you got to have a good start. And if Centennial could score, get a stop, have a few good drives, then I think they have a chance to keep it close like any team would. You know, you go back to the Paolo-Gorman game. Gorman wins 49-0, but they forced a turnover and punt on the first few possessions, had good field possession, and just couldn't move the ball. So you've got to create some breaks. You got to be fortunate against Gorman. And Centennial, I've always said, has a ton of good players. It's not like they're going to go in and, you know, have some glaring. They're going to obviously Gorman's better at every position. You could argue, right?
You could argue. It's a fact.
It is a fact. But I mean, I would think Greg Rogers up front might have some success against Gorman.
Yeah, I mean, Centennial has good players, but Gorman's just – I mean, this is the best team in the country.
There's no doubt about it. It's the best team in the country. Centennial's going to have to be extremely fortunate just to keep it close.
Yes. I mean, they played really well against them last year, if I remember right. And I'm just looking back at the score. It was 49-21 still, and I think Gorman is a lot better than last year. Centennial's also better than last year, too, though. But I just think Gorman wins this game by 31, 35 points, something like that.
And I think I got the spread around the same. I think my final was 42-14.
Right.
So I gave him the 14 because I need my bet to come in over 12.5 points in the regional.
And you want Centennial to do it all in one game?
I figure let's get it over with, huh?
And the thing is, I only say 31 to 35. I think Gorman could make it worse, but I think they have a tendency to let up a little bit at the end when they don't need to pounded on.
But I don't think this is going to be one of those running clock games, do you?
No, I mean not running clock, but I think going into the fourth quarter, maybe Gorman is up 30 points or 28 and they're just running the ball right up the middle and trying to run the timeout. I don't think they're trying to pad their mm-hmm. point totals is what I'm saying.
And I think that's what Gorman does best is, you know, when push comes to shove, they could get in power eye and just jam it right down your throat.
Well, they can do really anything they want.
They can. But yeah, but when push comes to shove, they've always been able to get in the power eye, you know, and turn it into a tackling sled drill. You ever push one of those sleds when you were
all
at Wichita
College? I hate those.
Oh, boy.
No fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd hate them, too, especially in the Vegas heat.
It's not too bad right now.
No, but like in the summer.
This is not a nature podcast, but I swear, I tell people all this. This gets mocked all the time, but I would take the Vegas summer over Midwest, Southeast summer any day. The humidity is just absolutely destroys me. Take the dry heat any day.
Wow.
Personally.
I remember hell runs at Chaparral High.
Yeah, I mean, neither are great, but, God, the humidity, just terrible.
Did you guys ever run ladders?
Yeah, like every day.
No.
All right, well, we kind of already started the picks by giving Bishop Gorman out. You have him 42-14. I think they win by a little bit more, but that's about right. I don't think Centennial scores twice. I think I guess I have to hope Centennial scores zero to put me ahead with the under 12.5, but I think they'll get into the end zone once maybe. So we both got Gorman. Next game is Palo Verde at Arborview.
I think a game that's going to be super close. Palo always comes ready to play Arbor. They're old Northwest rivals. Two similar teams in terms of offensive and defensive formations. So teams are going to be prepared. They know what to expect. It's going to come down to who makes the least amount of mistakes. And I just think that Arborview, undefeated, probably a little bit better than Palo this year. And I think they win by a small margin.
Yeah, I really see this game being extremely close, coming down to the wire. I don't think I just outright said it, but I'm looking at the scores now. And I just really think Palo Verde has the better defense, but I think Arborview has the better offense. And one of my least favorite cliches is defense wins championships, so I'm going to pick the better offense. I'm going to go Arborview in a really close game.
Okay, we agree. This is not fun.
I know, especially because now I think you're three games ahead of me in the picks, so I really need some help down the stretch. Basic at Las Vegas. I'm going to spoil your pick because I'm just now reading the comment, and I have a huge beef to pick with you. Basic has a hangover? They're in the playoffs! There's no hangover, and it's win or go home.
I just think that
this is. I mean, I think that's
listen
crazy.
To me.
Vegas wins, but they're not because Basic is a hangover. It's because Vegas is the better team.
Listen to me. If Basic loses on Friday to Vegas, what are you going to say about their season?
That was a pretty cool upset. They pulled over Canyon Springs.
Season's already a success.
But do you not?
You're playing.
Are you?
They
so
hit a royal flush. They're only going to go home with 900 of the
$1,200. Are you so far removed from being a high school athlete that you think it's just like, oh, we pulled an upset, we're happy. You want to keep winning in the playoffs?
You're
not going to have any hangover?
You do, but Basic's already accomplished. They pulled off an upset, and I played for the Gorman High School soccer back in the day.
I just totally disagree. I hope I'm wrong and Basic wins, but I don't see Basic winning this game. But it has nothing to do with the hangover. To me, it's the Basic defense played a lot better last week. Only giving up 17 points to Canyon Springs, but I think
Canyon Springs clearly underestimated Basic.
It seems like it, but I mean, Basic. I think they're playing well at the right time, but I mean, Vegas defense has been pretty all right all year. I think Littlefield obviously anchors that unit. I trust Vegas to get a few more stops than Basic.
You take Littlefield off of Vegas, and they're done.
I might pick Basic.
He is the MVP of that team, of this city. Without Littlefield, they have a hard time beating El Dorado.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really disagree with you. I think if he wasn't playing, that would greatly switch my opinion. I mean, 19 rushes for 184 yards for a kid that's not a running back and probably had 184 tackles too.
Great play.
I think that's the difference. I think Vegas and Littlefield get a few more stops. You go first this first one. I still honestly have not decided who I'm picking. Liberty at Coronado.
Liberty at Coronado. Somebody said it's called the Rose Bowl, which I can't call it.
Oh, I kind of liked that. You didn't like it?
Well, obviously, Liberty's on one side of St. Rose Parkway, Coronado's on the other, but there's already a Rose Bowl. It's in Pasadena.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Rose Bowl's too worried about this Rose. Yeah. We're dealing with a little bit different stages here. I like the Rose Bowl.
A great rivalry. Games appear to always be close, and you know what, Case? In those games, Liberty always finds a way to win. I don't know if it's some kind of karma they've got over Coronado, or if eventually Liberty's bigger, stronger, and faster and more, and I know I'm not supposed to use this word on another show, talented players wear out Coronado. But as good as Coronado is and as good as coach they are and as hot as they are right now, I think Liberty is 100 times better than the first meeting. I think Liberty is 100 times healthier, and I think Liberty without a doubt is going to win this game. Patriots, four-time defending region champs. Until they get beat, they're my pick.
I don't know. I mean, 100 times better than the first meeting, I think, is
an exaggeration.
Is really stretching
it. I agree with
it.
You. But they are better. They're as better as Coronado is better.
They're better for sure, but that's what I was going to say. You just took my point away. Coronado was a lot better, I think, than they were at the beginning of the season, too. I think they figured out some things. I mean, defensively, this team has been so tough. I really planned on picking Coronado here, but seeing the sheer size and just what that defensive line can do to a team, I just can't quite pick against Liberty. I'm going to pick Liberty in like another one-point game.
I hate to be
picking them because I really wanted to be on opposite sides of this one because I think it's close enough, but my gut tells me Liberty wins this.
I agree. It's going to be a great game.
Great atmosphere at Coronado, too, that could come into play for the Cougars. Good to be playing this game at home. The D1A, which we have neglected to this point, Moapa Valley beat Sierra Vista 46-26 to get into a game at home with Elko.
Yeah, Elko, we got a scouting report from a Lake Tahoe guy this morning. First of all, shout out to him for giving us information, and shout out to the Tahoe Truckee soccer teams, both boys and girls, made it to state. He wanted to make sure we said that, and I think that town should be pretty happy they got a guy like that beating his drum for the kids. So shout out to the soccer team. And he tells me that Elko's good, but their defense will not be able to contain Moapa Valley. Says that Moapa Valley, which, as I know, has great balance with Hymus throwing the ball, Bodily running it, and they still have two pretty great players in Mulcock and Hubert. It's tough to win at Overton, especially for a team coming to Elko, even though I think Elko's got a lot of great athletes, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the Division I A basketball title. I'm taking the Pirates to make it to the state game, which is here, and I've told you Moapa Valley's going to win state, and I'm not backing down.
Yeah, I've said that all year, too. Here's one thing I'm a little bit worried about. I know you'll probably think this is crazy, but can Moapa Valley play any better than last week? They were up 27-0 at halftime. I think they had a special teams return, an interception return. Hymus was 14 for 18 for three touchdowns and 200 yards. I mean, this seems it scares me when a team plays that well. It seems in sports after sport, if a team plays that well, it seems like it's hard to keep that level. And, I mean, shout out to Moapa Valley for just doing that to Sierra Vista, but that kind of scares me.
Yeah, the only way Moapa Valley loses is if they overlook Elko and look ahead to a potential matchup with Fallon, who Fallon and Moapa have been the best two teams in that classification all season. Remember, Moapa Valley kind of shot itself in the foot last year in the same game where Hymus had more interceptions than he's had combined in the last 2 years.
Right. I think Moapa Valley gets by this week, but maybe next week we'll have their work cut out for them. Already penciling Fallon into the state final game, huh,
which
Brewer? Tell
tough.
Us about this Desert Pines
which
at Fallon.
Tough on me. First of
you
all,
saw DP's like biggest win ever. So
I love Desert Pines. Love them. I mean, I've been beating that Desert Pines drum all year. I put them in the top 10, and they were – I texted you during this game, and I'm like, Desert Pines is awesome. They got a ton of creative plays. Tico is a phenomenal coach. Absolutely phenomenal. He's got two greatest. He's got a ton of great assistants. They do a good job. Anthony Smith, defensive lineman, junior, 6'3", 247, probably the best defensive lineman in the state. I said it. If UNLV doesn't offer this kid tomorrow, I'm shocked. This kid is the real deal, in the backfield constantly, big, quick, physical, awesome, best defensive lineman in the state. Another junior, Trevor Nafoa, 5'10", 190, brutal to bring down, two-way guy, phenomenal player, and they're quick and they're good. John McCoy, Andre Watts, Isaiah Morris, our guy at quarterback, Markel Grayson, Gianni Breland. This team is really good. They're well-coached. They're quick and athletic. Problem is, Case, I just don't see them taking a bus ride to Fallon, which is a school that isn't your typical small school. They got a ton of participation, a ton of numbers. They're a power up there. You could argue they should be in the higher division. I don't see them getting on a bus, facing the weather, and trying to beat them. 364, they waited 364 days to beat Faith Lutheran. I was so happy for those kids. They celebrated. They loved it. They beat who I thought, and I was wrong as hell last week. Ruvula Kaba from Faith Lutheran is the best wide receiver in the Division 1A, maybe not, if not the state. Quick, fast, great route runner, catches everything. Awesome player. DP with a huge win to get by him. I'm rooting for him. I hate the North, but there's no way they beat Fallon.
God, it's weird to be talking about this semifinals without having Truckee involved.
It is.
It's like year after year.
But I'm telling you right now, Anthony Smith from Desert Pines is a beast, an absolute beast. I've seen nobody like him all year. He was in the backfield the entire game.
All right, you've sold me then. I'm going to go upset. I think Desert Pines can win this game. I love what this team has done all year. I just had a little bit of hesitance. And even on the podcast last week, I think I mentioned that I wanted to pick Desert Pines because, I mean, Desert Pines, they haven't they got an easier schedule. I think if they would have played a tougher schedule, we'd be even higher on this team. I think I don't think those kids are going to overlook this game after winning that huge game with Faith Lutheran. Fallon, it looks like 10-1 on the year. Their only loss was to a team in California. So, I mean, I know they're the underdogs here, but as we saw last week, upsets happen. I'm taking Desert Pines and be a homer and get an All-Southern Nevada State Championship.
I would love to see. I would pick Desert. Did I text you that I thought Desert Pines was better than Moapa Valley?
No, you didn't.
They have better players. Crazy. They have better players than Moapa Valley.
But
Moapa Valley is more organized, and their kids perform. Desert Pines, as much as I love them, they're a turnover waiting to happen. You know, they're up 14-0. They give up two touchdowns in 2 minutes to Faith, including on fourth down with 22 seconds to go in the half. They're kind of like at the 35 or 40. They have no kicking game, no kicker at all, no punter, no nothing. They got to go for it. Bad snap, picked up and ran to the house for a touchdown. Then John McCoy takes it to the house on the kickoff, and they go in the locker room. Because when you're that talented and that athletic, maybe their speed takes over. I'm rooting for them, too, because I love Desert Pines. Love them to death.
All right, we'll be back next week, although an abbreviated slate, obviously. Thanks a lot for listening. Prep Sports Now.